Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. Between the time the recording of this show was made and its debut here on BBS radio and television network, that's bbsradio.com, we don't know what major new events might have taken place in the war with the Mueller regime in Iran. What I am presenting here on today's show is news and commentary on these events as of the last few days of March 2026, along with other what I deem significant current events, with our reporting on today's show focusing on domestic affairs, including latest events related to our largely corrupted elections here in the United States. I consider election matters of paramount importance due to the political left's working fervently to rig and steal this year's midterm elections, regain control of Congress, immediately impeach and remove Donald Trump from office, and then plunge America back into the Marxist revolution they began under the Biden regime, the illegitimate Biden regime. Were it not for the as-yet-unidentified cyber team that went to Belgrade, Serbia right before the 2024 U.S. election and somehow disabled a server or servers that were being used to manipulate and flip votes in the U.S. election, the communist globalist puppet Kamala Harris would be president now, and she and her handlers would be helping Iran, Venezuela, Cuba, and China in the continuation of the Marxist takeover of America begun under Biden. But by some miracle, undoubtedly, at least in part, made possible by the efforts of a lot of brave patriots, including, especially, that cyber team, Donald Trump and his supporters were able to overcome enough of the massive electoral fraud being waged against them and win the election. The rest, as they say, is history. Now we are fighting to hold on to Congress and keep Trump and his supporters in office, continuing his revolution to defeat the communists and globalist elites and steer America along its long and uneven path of maximum individual freedoms and rights for our population and reestablish our nation's preeminence in so many ways, thus making America great again. As you know, there is continuing debate among conservatives and supporters about the correctness of pursuing the war against Iran, with major voices on the political right and center condemning the Trump administration's campaign against the murderous and appallingly evil religious fanatics in the Mueller regime, still in control of that country. While the likes of alternative media giants like Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson, along with people within the Trump administration, such as Joe Kent, the recently resigned director of, I believe it's the U.S. National Counterterrorism Center, condemning U.S. actions against Iran, and Kent claimed he could no longer in good conscience support the war against Iran and that Iran posed no real threat to the U.S. and Israel. I don't know where he got that idea, but the Alex Jones Network at Infowars.com and X.com is these days full of bad press about what supposedly is a losing U.S. position in the war, with all kinds of dire warnings that the war is a huge mistake, that we're going to get bogged down in a quagmire ground war, that we cannot defeat the mullahs, etc., etc., etc. I don't agree with these highly negative assessments. The war is not and will not be easily won. And there's certainly some weight to what they're talking about here, the critics, that is, but I firmly believe the U.S., Israel, and our Persian Gulf allies are making great progress. Former FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino, who has gone back to doing his very popular podcast show, said recently on Fox that he has seen classified intelligence on Iran that showed very serious national security threats. And if I understand correctly, fully justifies the war against Iran. information I've seen indicates the Mullahs were furiously working and sparing no expense to build and most likely use nuclear weapons, including with hypersonic missiles, with assistance from China, North Korea, and possibly other countries. And while strike capabilities of Iran's missiles, drones, and other offensive weaponry, such as underwater attack drones, have reportedly been reduced by some 90%, they still are firing missiles at Israel, U.S. bases in the area, and Gulf nations. And the Strait of Hormuz, as of this broadcast recording, remains closed to vital shipping of oil and natural gas. We don't know what's really happening behind the scenes, but the latest information I've seen is that what's left of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, or IRGC, are operating in dispersed units and continuing their attacks while publicly rejecting the Trump administration's claim that good and productive talks for a ceasefire and regime change are happening. Here's a recent broadcast by host, I believe it's pronounced Meyer, Tusi, on his Tusi TV channel on YouTube about these latest developments of the war. Meyer Tusi is a Brit, I believe, that's British, but is Iranian by heritage and has significant contacts within the Iran and expat, within Iran and expat Iranian communities in the world.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Tusi TV. This is your global news channel. Amal Tusi and the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps have now rejected any ceasefire deal with the United States and Israel. We're going to give you guys the latest update on the conflict in Iran and the Middle East. First things first, confirmed by sources in Iran, the IRGC are now officially at their weakest level ever. The infrastructure has fallen apart, the leadership, the political leadership had been eliminated, and the military leadership are all over the place. They have now continued with their decentralized models, which means that in each region and area of Iran, we have lower ranking commanders calling the shots, and there is no central command anymore. The IRGC falling apart, that aside, we're going to give you guys the latest in terms of the so-called talks and negotiations because the Americans, they were supposed to be with the Israelis, their job was to get involved, send help, which is to weaken the regime, and then obviously stop the strikes, and then the Iranian people will take control of the streets. But seems like the strikes continue. It's actually escalated over the last few hours, and we don't exactly know how long they're going to go for, because as I said, this was not supposed to be some sort of until the last minute President Trump installing a new regime. This was supposed to be an attack to weaken the regime and then the Iranians to take control. First, let's go to the United States. The Iranian people are sending more videos to us, telling everybody else, especially in the world, to calm the F down. We in Iran are happy and the strikes continue. Let's go to this man from Iran, from Tehran, who's filmed this video of the latest strikes in the north with English subtitles.
برادران عزیز، بعضیا خیلی نگران اینن که ترامپ یه دفعه وای میسه قبل از سقوط این حکومت. شما اینجا همه این حملاتو میبینین. ترامپ حتما براشون یه سورپرایز خوب داره آماده میکنه. مثل اینکه تا حالا کرده. ما روش خیلی حساب میکنیم. این حکومت سقوط خواهد کرد.
Now obviously that involves the next phase, which again, at the end of the day, it's up to the Iranian people to finish the job, not the Americans or the Israelis. There have been some idiots around the world in the international community who somehow expect President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu to finish the job, to destroy the regime and install a new regime. That would be a terrible idea. Having said that, the missile capabilities of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps has massively been reduced. One of their vows was to continue to hit the United Arab Emirates every single day. And they have been hitting the UAE every single day until today. So far, it's basically evening time now in Iran. Zero missiles, zero have been launched. absolutely fascinating situation. The Emiratis indicate that they are running out of missiles and missile launchers in Iran. But the Israeli Defense Forces have also vowed to not stop the strikes. Again, I'm not really sure what their plan is, how long they're going to continue. But they have been hitting Ghazvin. This is the Alborz neighborhood in Ghazvin, northwest of Iran. Look at this insanity. Still going. It's in the early hours of this morning. Crazy stuff happening. Now, the US Air Force have also been busy throughout the day. They have, over the last few weeks, a couple of weeks, they've been very busy targeting the infrastructure. So that includes the Navy, which has been massively reduced, and also the Islamic Republic's Air Force. Now, we have this footage from CENTCOM. This is crazy stuff. Destroying Iran's air force and air bases and all their aircrafts. And apparently, this will continue for the rest of the week to target more of the air bases. I'm not really sure. The air force in Iran is not really a big threat. But it's still important, obviously, to target every single position in general. Having said that, let's talk about what has been reported, not confirmed by the White House, but reported from various sides, including Pakistan. So the spokesperson, of the IRGC, Ebrahim Zalfagari, has said that the IRGC has rejected not just the ceasefire, but also the 14-point plan that was sent by President Trump. Now, the official statement from this idiot is, our position has not changed from day one and will not change. We will never reach an agreement with people like you, not now and not ever. What you call strategic power has become strategic failure. Now, they say this, 10 minutes later, they're going to come begging for a deal. Idiots, absolute idiots. Now, they know, obviously, because this was going to be a surrender deal. It's not really in the interest of the IRGC to accept this deal. It's the same with the other negotiations that we had a month ago, with Steve Witkoff and Abbas Araghchi. It was fascinating how those who don't understand geopolitics were panicking, saying, oh, wow, if this deal goes through, that means the US will lose and the IRGC will win and the Iranian people will lose. Like, how? This will be a surrender deal. If Khamenei had accepted that deal, that would have been the end of the regime, the beginning of the end. Same with this one. If they are to accept this, obviously this will be a surrender deal for the IRGC. It's not saving the IRGC. But even they're not that stupid, although they're going to come back begging. They've said, no ceasefire. What we demand is an end to all wars. There is a problem here, because this is the set of demands that the IRGC have now sent conditions. A full halt to aggression and assassinations by the enemy. That means the Israelis and the Americans. Concrete guarantees that war will not impose on Iran again. Again, that's one of the most stupid conditions, because you could just say, yeah, sure, no more war, and then you could just break it. You can't guarantee anything. Another guaranteed and clear defined war reparations, as we've been saying for the past couple of days. They want reparations. Okay, that's an easy one. An end to war across all fronts, including for all resistance groups in the region. That means the IRGC proxies, the Houthis, Hezbollah, and everybody else. Let me guess, the Israelis are not going to be happy, obviously. Number five, international recognition of Iran's, the Islamic Republic's, sovereign authority over the Strait of Hormuz. Yeah, that's also not going to happen. So I don't know what they're thinking. They could have actually come up with some sort of compromise, but the IRGC, who are right now dying as we speak, seem to have a suicide mission, and President Trump has successfully cornered them and trapped them once again. It's absolutely embarrassing performance by the so-called military leadership of the IRGC. It makes sense because the military leadership of the IRGC, they're not politically savvy. They don't understand geopolitics or negotiations, and that's how they've been defeated every single time when it comes to dealings with President Trump.
Now watch a recent broadcast from Steve Turley on his YouTube channel about the broader implications of the war with Iran and what they mean for the world. Dr. Turley always puts a positive spin on his commentaries and reporting, but his research abilities, keen insights, and ability to put important events in understandable perspectives are unmatched.
What you're about to see is a glimpse into something that makes even the drone wars look like a warm-up act. Not since Sputnik, not since the moon landing, not since Reagan's Star Wars speech has a single moment so thoroughly redefined the relationship between space and power. What you're about to see is the emergence of a new kind of sovereignty, not over land, not over seas, not even over the skies, but over the heavens themselves. And that sovereignty is being used right now to systematically dismantle the Iranian regime from orbit. Stick me at the very end of this video because we're about to find why this isn't just a war. This is the dawn of what I'm calling a civilizational cosmocracy, the age when mastery over space determines the destiny of entire civilizations, and the world, indeed the cosmos, will never be the same. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, here to help you make sense of what is arguably the most extraordinary development of the entire Iran war, with breaking news and analysis you're not going to get anywhere else. So you know what to do. Make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. So this morning, Fox Business aired a truly stunning interview with NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman. And if you don't know who Isaacman is, he's a self-made billionaire. He's a high school dropout, actually, who built a payment processing empire. He flew on SpaceX twice, and in 2024, he became the first non-professional astronaut in human history to walk in space. The Senate confirmed him to lead NASA in December, and what he said today should send chills down the spine of every adversary of the United States.
Space is the ultimate high ground, right? President Trump certainly knows this. It's why he created the Space Force during his first term. It's why he created the Artemis program, which is kind of on the peaceful civil side of space, which is my responsibility at NASA. And that's America's moon rocket behind us right now. But you're absolutely spot on. The assets we have in space, the satellites that are there for observation, for communication. I mean, these are the capabilities that are identifying the rocket launches, that are communicating to our forces and give America an extreme edge in this conflict.
Here's what's happening. So in the opening minutes of Operation Epic Fury, the very first movers were not jets. They weren't ships. They weren't obviously boots on the ground. The first movers were the United States Space Command and Cyber Command, layering what the Pentagon calls non-kinetic effects. That means they blinded Iran. They disrupted and degraded Iran's ability to see, communicate, and respond, all from space. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs confirmed this. Space and cyber forces created the conditions for everything else that followed. The F-35s, the B-2 bombers, the drone swarms, all of it. Without space dominance made possible by President Trump's Space Force, none of this works. And it gets even more extraordinary. When Iran launched retaliatory ballistic missiles at U.S. installations across the Middle East, it was the 5th Space Warning Squadron at Buckley Space Force Base in Colorado that detected those launches within milliseconds. They're using something called Overhead Persistent Infrared Satellites, OPIR satellites, that detect the heat signature of a missile the second ignites. The moment those rockets lit up, Space Force Guardians calculated trajectories, communicated targeting data to missile defense systems in real time, and those missiles were neutralized before they could reach their targets. Meanwhile, Mission Delta 3, that's the Space Force's electromagnetic warfare unit, was cloaking American bombers. They jammed Iran's surface-to-air missile barriers, scrambled their radar, and allowed B-2 stealth bombers to penetrate deep into Iranian airspace and obliterate hardened underground targets with near zero risk. Now think about that for a second. An invisible hand operating from orbit reached down and turned off Iran's eyes and ears, so that American bombers could fly through their territory like ghosts. And then, of course, there's Starlink. The Wall Street Journal reported last month that the Trump administration secretly smuggled roughly 6,000 Starlink terminals into Iran. Iran tried military-grade satellite jamming. They tried GPS spoofing. They even got Chinese jamming technology to try to shut it down. And Starlink kept transmitting. From the roughly 6,000 satellites in low Earth orbit, uncensored internet kept flowing into Iran, destabilizing the regime's information control, keeping dissidents connected, and keeping the images of regime brutality flowing to the outside world. Meanwhile, the military variant Starshield was being used to coordinate strike operations with interference-resistant communications. And this is the technology that is being used to create perhaps President Trump's greatest masterpiece, the Golden Dome. This frankly changes everything. The Golden Dome is Trump's visionary multi-layered missile defense system that extends from the ground all the way into orbit. It's got the space-based interceptor satellites, high-energy lasers, radar arrays, infrared sensors, and tracking systems that detect the heat signature of a missile launch within seconds and tracks it all the way through every phase of flight, including hypersonic glide vehicles. It is, without exaggeration, the most ambitious missile defense architecture in the history of the world. So what on earth is all of this? Or maybe I should say, what beyond Earth is all of that? What's happening here? What's President Trump really doing? What kind of cosmic civilization is rising right in front of our very eyes? That's exactly what we're about to find out. And the answer is going to absolutely blow you away. What's happening in the skies over Iran right now is not merely a military campaign. It's the unveiling of a new form of civilizational power. It's what I've been calling in my forthcoming book, a civilizational cosmocracy, or the civcosm. And it's changing literally everything. For the whole of human history, power on the world stage has been defined by the physical. Who controls the land? Who controls the sea lanes? Who has the biggest army? From Sparta to Rome, from the Mongol horde to the British Empire, this has been the iron law of civilizational dominance. But scholars have been noticing for some time now that this model is cracking. Ian Bremmer coined the term technopolarity to describe how technology companies are actually becoming geopolitical actors in their own right, wielding sovereignty not over land, but over digital space. Everett Dolman, in his landmark work, Astropolitik, argued that classical geopolitics has expanded beyond the territorial landscape to encompass what he calls the spatial arena, outer space itself. As Dolman put it, who controls low Earth orbit, low Earth is about 1,200 miles above Earth's surface, controls near Earth space. Who controls near Earth space dominates the Terra. And who dominates Terra determines the destiny of humankind. Now, here's where it gets really interesting for those of you who've been following our work on civilizational populism. What Bremmer, Dolman, and others are describing from a secular realist perspective is actually the technological stratum of something far more profound. And that's what I'm calling a civilizational cosmocracy, or the civcosm. The civcosm is the recognition that the great civilizations of the world, not just nation states, but not just tech companies, but we're talking the ancient civilizations of old, they're all reawakening and are now competing for mastery of what the ancients would have called the cosmos, the whole created order, as it were, from the depths of the cyber realm to the heights of the lunar surface. And that's precisely what we're witnessing in Donald Trump's Operation Epic Fury. I mean, think about it. Jarek Isaacman told Fox Business this morning, just this morning, that the United States is in a race with China and that the difference between success and failure is measured in months, not years. China and Russia have announced a collaboration to build a nuclear-powered research station on the far side of the moon. The Artemis program is now pushing to launch crewed missions to the moon every single year with a permanent lunar base in the works by 2028. Check it out.
Now, my responsibility is on the, again, the civil, peaceful side to it. What are we doing about it? We're returning to the moon. We're returning to the moon, and we're going to stay. We're going to build a lunar base. And next up is Artemis 2, which is America's moon rocket. It's right behind me. 8.8 million pounds of thrust. We're going to send four astronauts around the moon in a matter of weeks, safely back to Earth. And then we're going to set up for missions every year, again in 27 until 28, when we land on the moon. And again, this time to stay. We're doing the other things. We're going nuclear power and propulsion in space. So someday you can see American astronauts plant the stars and stripes on Mars. So this is kind of our role that we fulfill here at NASA. We're pioneering, ensuring American leadership in the high ground of space. Then you've got Space Force. They're the ones that are standing out in the hill. They're looking out for everyone here on Earth. And then you've got looking out farther into space as NASA kind of leads the way.
Now, when you combine that with what we've been seeing in Iran, space-based missile detection in milliseconds, electromagnetic warfare conducted from orbit, AI-powered targeting systems compressing weeks of intelligence analysis in milliseconds, 6,000 Starlink terminals smuggled into a hostile nation to shatter the regime's information monopoly, and directed energy weaponry, better known as lasers, that can knock missiles out of the sky for like $3 a shot. What you get is not just a war. What you get is the emergence of a new civilizational stratum, the cosmos stratum, that sits above the traditional battlefield, above the digital battlefield, above even the atmospheric domain. And whoever masters this cosmos stratum, the orbital layer, the cislunar space, the directed energy grid, the AI satellite nexus, whoever masters that controls the destiny of their civilization.
Shifting focus to domestic issues now, here's a clip from a recent Jesse Waters Tonight Show on Fox with further revelations by Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard's exposure of the perpetrators of the Trump-Russia collusion hoax.
Fox News alert, the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, releasing a bombshell report today that shows a conspiracy by a sitting president, Barack Obama, and his intel agencies to sabotage the president-elect, Donald Trump, brainwash the electorate, and undermine the legitimacy of an election.
There is irrefutable evidence that detail how President Obama and his national security team directed the creation of an intelligence community assessment that they knew was false. They knew it would promote this contrived narrative that Russia interfered in the 2016 election to help President Trump win, selling it to the American people as though it were true. It wasn't.
Gabbard got her hands on a House Intel report that's been locked away in a CIA vault for almost a decade. Investigators spent over 2,000 hours looking into how the Russia hoax was born, interviewing 20 CIA and FBI officials. And it turns out that the Obama administration doctored the intelligence to make it look like Putin and Trump stole the election. A month after Trump beat Hillary, Barack Obama wasn't satisfied with his intelligence reporting and ordered his CIA director to create a new assessment of how Russia interfered with the election. This was a highly unusual move. John Brennan handpicked five CIA analysts to write the assessment, and they were siloed. None of them knew what the other was doing. And only one analyst was in charge of drafting this report. There was nothing routine about this, and it was a rush job to publish before Trump was sworn in. Nothing was coordinated with the other intelligence agencies either. Basically, this was home cooking for Barack Obama. There were four key elements from the assessment that were repeated over and over again and formed the basis of the Russia hoax and the Robert Mueller witch hunt. One, that Vladimir Putin wanted Donald Trump to win. Two, Putin took action to help Trump win. Three, the Russians had blackmail on Trump. That was the Steele dossier. And four, that the Russians tried colluding with the Trump campaign. None of any of this was ever true. There was no reliable intelligence to support any of these allegations. Senior CIA officials repeatedly refused to traffic in these allegations, but they were repeatedly overruled by CIA Director Brennan and FBI Director Comey, who insisted that they be pushed, even without verifiable evidence. The Obama administration cherry-picked the intelligence, lied about their sources, misquoted sources, didn't corroborate their claims, suppressed intelligence that ran counter to their narratives, and even used anonymous internet postings. Rank-and-file CIA admitted what they were doing violated their own tradecraft standards. There was a massive pressure campaign that came right from the top. CIA analysts say they received unusual directives from political appointees, the CIA director, and Obama himself. This is how the Russia hoax was born.
Donald Trump knows that the Russians helped him win in 2016.
Putin hated Secretary Clinton so much that the flip side of that coin was he had a clear preference for the person running against the person he hated so much.
It was Russia in a very systematic way and tried to interfere in the election and to try to advance the prospects of Donald Trump being elected.
This was such a malicious disinformation campaign perpetrated on the American people that at one point, 60% of Democrats believed the Russians hacked our voting machines to help Trump win the White House. What this report actually shows is that the Russians just wanted to create chaos and undermine Americans' faith in democracy. Solid intelligence suggested that Vladimir Putin didn't care who won. He had no preference. But like most people, expected Hillary to win and had a little docket of compromising dirt on her, dirt that he never released. Now, if Putin wanted Trump to win, why didn't Putin drop the dirt?
There were high-level DNC emails that detailed evidence of Hillary's, quote, psycho-emotional problems, uncontrolled fits of anger, aggression, and cheerfulness, and that then-Secretary Clinton was allegedly on a daily regimen of heavy tranquilizers. Then-CIA Director Brennan and the intelligence community mischaracterized intelligence and relied on dubious substandard sources to create a contrived false narrative that Putin developed a, quote-unquote, clear preference for Trump.
Now, if Clinton was on tranquilizers like the Russians believed, why didn't they leak it to help Trump win?
How credible was the information about Hillary Clinton's health?
All I have seen is what the intelligence committee have reported through their investigation. I think the underlying point there is that we understand from intelligence what Russia said that they had. And the important point here is that if they were trying to influence the election, as President Obama and James Clapper and John Brennan, everybody said they were doing in order to support Donald Trump's election, they would have released the most damning of that information.
Obama and his spy chiefs knew that Putin didn't prefer Trump over Hillary, but they cooked the intelligence to make it look like he did. Obama and his intel spies knew that Putin didn't collude with Trump and that he didn't even direct his people to help Trump win, but they put it out there anyway. In a sense, Barack Obama did exactly what Putin wanted. Undermined Americans' faith in free and fair elections and caused chaos in our country. Barack Obama, the CIA, and the FBI were the ones doing what our enemy wanted.
Do you believe that any of this new information implicates former President Obama in criminal behavior?
we have referred and will continue to refer all of these documents to the Department of Justice and the FBI to investigate the criminal implications of this.
For even former the evidence, President Obama?
Correct. The evidence that we have found and that we have released directly point to President Obama leading the manufacturing of this intelligence assessment. There are multiple pieces of evidence and intelligence that confirm that fact.
Even 2 years later, after the election, Barack Obama was still pushing a hoax he knew wasn't true. And he knew it wasn't true because he helped manufacture it.
They're undermining our alliances, cozying up to Russia. What happened to the Republican Party? They're cozying up to the former head of the KGB. Actively blocking legislation that would defend our elections from Russian attack. What happened?
Now, I don't know if it's possible to indict a former president for actions he took while in office. I'm not a lawyer, proudly. But Brennan, Comey, and others may have severe liability. Trey Gowdy says we know for a fact that Brennan committed perjury when he lied to Congress.
Director Brennan, do you know who commissioned the Steele dossier?
I don't.
Do you know if the Bureau ever relied on the Steele dossier as part of any court filings, applications?
I have no awareness.
Did the CIA rely on it?
No.
Why not?
Because we didn't. It wasn't part of the corpus of intelligence information that we had. It was not in any way used as a basis for the intelligence community assessment that was done. It was not.
No, that's a lie. Whatever happens to these guys is not revenge. It's accountability. And it's time for people to pay the price.
Our last two video presentations today are from recent editions of Just the News with John Solomon and The Alex Jones Show, where Jones continues with commentary on Solomon's revelations of foreign interference in U.S. elections, particularly the rigged U.S. 2020 election, which fraudulently handed the presidency to Joe Biden.
Good evening, America. Happy Monday, and welcome to the latest edition of Just the News, No Noise. I'm your host, John Solomon, reporting to you from the nation's capital, and today we have a bombshell, something that has been kept from you for nearly 6 years. In as early as February of 2020, the United States Intelligence Community determined that China had breached U.S. voter registration data, had gained access to the data that voters used to register to vote in the 2020 election. Now, remember, we've been told time and time again there were no foreign interferences in the 2020 election. But the U.S. intelligence community absolutely concluded that China had done this. They had several reports involving several states. Now, we don't know this yet, because anyone in the Trump administration has declassified that information. They may soon do so. We've asked them to, and I believe they're honestly working on it. We know this because we were able to get a document that was declassified by the Biden administration that referred to these findings in April of 2020. It is a National Intelligence Council memo. If you go over to justthenews.com right now, the story just moved a few minutes ago, you can download that document and read it yourself. Page 3, paragraph 2, a single sentence that says that China began accessing voter registration data in hopes of analyzing American public opinion in the 2020 election. Now, we have several intelligence officials confirming that this has been covered up for years. The only person ever to refer to it was the current CIA director, director of national intelligence under President Trump in 2020, who made reference to China's extensive intrusions on the 2020 election, accusing the CIA at the time of not paying enough attention to it. Now, he's the director of the CIA, John Ratcliffe is, but you will see all of the data. There are memos, interviews, open source intelligence that guide you to all of the facts, all on the record. It is a pretty big story. Go check it out at justthenews.com.
You're saying that what's going to happen is we're going to find out the Chinese had a major heavy hand in rigging election? What's your take on the raid yesterday in Maricopa?
Yeah, it wasn't really a raid. It was a grand jury subpoena, but they grabbed mm-hmm. stuff. There will be some search warrants executed in the coming days based on my reporting. They're looking at, in Maricopa County, it's a very technical thing, just like it was in Georgia. Did you follow state law? Because if you didn't administer a federal election as it was supposed to be under state law, you can be charged federally. It's just about doing the right thing and following the law. But above that, not in Maricopa County, not in Fulton County, there is an extraordinary review going on by the CIA director, the FBI director, the director of national intelligence. So Tulsi Gabbard, John Ratcliffe, and Cash Patel, they have found a body of documents that I think will trouble all of us and probably will have a profound effect on the Senate debate over the Save America Act. A lot of senators are sitting up there saying, I don't know if I need to vote for this. I don't know what the politics are. Wait a second. When they find out that maybe voter identities in their state databases were penetrated by China and used in influence operations, that may change their mind. And so I think the debate in the Senate could be informed by what comes out in the next few weeks.
Oh, fascinating. Oh, that's so interesting.
That's John Solomon, Benny Johnson. Of course, you're like, wait a minute. We heard all this in 2020 and 2021. You heard specifically from General Flynn and Patrick Byrne and Mike Lindell and myself and Rudolph Giuliani the specifics, because we know how it works. The CIA and the Democrats, the deep state, had China create the computer chips, the codes, with the wireless access cell phone chips. Then they would claim they were made in Taiwan, and then they were shipped to Venezuela, and the three major voting machine companies were all really owned and run by a consortium of the Venezuelan government. And they helped steal elections in 60 other countries. This has been known. I had guests on 25 years ago talking about Sequoia and Smartmatic and Diebold, and then, of course, they would just change the names to new things. And then when this evidence was brought out 5 years ago, the judges wouldn't see it, and they would just default Rudolph Giuliani, default Mike Lindell, and say, nope, no evidence that you can even access these machines, even though they're wireless on record. I've seen hundreds of demonstrations where teenage hackers can just come in and break into any of these machines because they're wireless. And so, yeah, that's old news for all of you, but now the Justice Department does have active criminal investigations. They have raided already in Arizona and in Georgia. But how do you have the CIA investigating itself? Well, we got Tulsi Gabbard and others in there, so I have some faith. But this is just open and shut, folks. And, you know, you even hear Solomon being very, well, we're breaking this. And he's a great reporter, but you know, no sensationalism from him. Well, it is sensational. You know, if Martians land in Manhattan, it's going to be sensational. You can't just, well, maybe they're Martians, or maybe my pulse went up, you know, one beat a minute. We have to get pissed about this. Yesterday, we had longtime Trump confidant and very respected lawyer who's been heading up and quarterbacking a lot of the private investigations, really for Trump, into the theft of 2020 and the ongoing attempts since then. And you've seen the Democrats winning most of these special elections and then just same evidence of exact same fraud over the top each time. We had Peter Ticton on yesterday. What an important interview. It's up on Infowars.com. It's up on X. It's up on Rumble. Get it. Share it. Yes, you know all about this, but the general public still doesn't get it. And they caught them in just this last primary, just a few days ago, last week. They caught them in San Antonio with the same name voting over and over again with thousands and thousands of names. Remember, this came out in Michigan in 2020, and since then, they'll have one person might vote 5,000 times. They're even lazy about it. They just create new voter IDs off the person's name and Social Security number. Same thing in Wisconsin. what is it? They've got like 4.5 million. You can pull it up. 4.5 million registered voters, and now 7 million votes. And it's approaching soon. There'll be more votes in Wisconsin than there are people, period. Come on. But how does it work? You know, we look at ballot stuffing. We look at dead people voting. We look at mules. And that's even with the computers. There was such a landslide for Republicans of 10, 15, 20 points, depending on the area, that they have to then wait because they can't keep running the machines after Election Day. And then that's why Pelosi said, oh, he will lose in 2020. She said, no matter what. And then you see, they close the election that night, and then bloop. Magically, the numbers go straight up, which is impossible in an organic voting graph. It's always curve, incremental, not bloop. And you have those, you know, famous graphs in all the places they stole, and down to each county, same thing. Oh, we're not voting anymore. Oh, we closed early. Oh, the power's off. Oh, broken water main. But then you see them put stuff over the windows. Then you get the surveillance footage inside, and it's just them running the same stacks of ballots all for Biden over and over again and wiping their foreheads and even writing notes and text messages later saying, God, making sure he won was sure hard. We went 10 hours straight. My fingers are bleeding. And you know, they caught the Georgia lady that won the lawsuit against Giuliani just laughing about it and saying, oh, I'm here today. You know, I hadn't come in a month, but I'm here now to get my job done. And you know what that is. So it goes on and on and on. But China has hacked into the different state DMVs so that it can get the names and the addresses. And then off that, they create fake voter IDs. And to cross-reference it, they have Zuckerberg goes out, and there's a national consortium run by the Democrats that most state governments, a bunch of states have passed laws now to reverse it. We had to get that lawyer on. What's his name? He did a really good job exposing this. Last year we had him on. I'll remember it in a minute. But they set up in the 90s this national consortium that sounds like a government name, and almost all the states' legislatures then would pass a law that it's over the voter database, but it's a private Democrat operation, and then it sells it to Zuckerberg. He goes and buys other databases. What was it? 400 and something million. Remember that? In the year before 2020. And then they integrate all those together, and that's how Biden got 8 million more votes than Trump and more votes than Barack Obama got. By the way, Barack Obama didn't even steal the election. He was popular. That's just a fact. So we know what they've done. And now John Solomon, Fox reporter, and obviously has his own popular news site, very, very respected, great guy. We probably won a Pulitzer Prize for it, but he's now reporting on what we reported back in 2020, 2021. Communist China breaking into the databases, stealing it, so they could have the election stolen. And just in San Antonio, last week, candidates are allowed to demand the voter database of who voted for them. They gave them the database, and it was a huge database with thousands and thousands of people in Bexar County voting repeatedly. And the same system where it's the same name, different voter ID, just made up. Oh, and of course, the mistakes are all for the Democrats.
That's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's contents of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show, and elsewhere on the internet, including x.com at James B5030-91977, and also on Rumble.com and Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com, scroll down on my index page there at, that's the first page, at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show and check out our related videos section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot with another episode of the show. And have a great rest of your day and evening.